want to come somewhere and you want to receive something, because then it's just a waste of time if you don't. And so let's put in the time today, and I believe that God's going to meet you. Amen. All right, so the book of Matthew chapter 5. Go ahead, Ellen. Follow with me in verse 1, and we're going to read this, and we'll pray. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.'" Father, thank you so much for the Spirit of God that's already here. Lord, I pray as we move into this portion of the service that you would be honored and glorified. We thank you, Lord, that you are the standard. You're the standard. And I pray that you would help us as we continue to lean into the standard to become more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What are you hungering for right now? Whatever you're hungry for, you will make provision to go and get it. Go and get it. So think about anytime you have a craving, you do what you need to do in order to fill that craving, right? Hey, I'm just craving some tacos. I'm going to fill that craving. Whatever you're craving, you're going to fill it with. And so we have a world right now that is filling that craving with all sorts of things. They're trying to fill it with social gatherings. They're trying to fill it with social media. They're trying to fill it with the ways of the world, thinking that it's going to satisfy. But what happens is when that you begin to fill it with the ways of the world or fill it with something that's not God, it always leaves you wanting more, wanting more. And so cravings are something that are natural. You have a nature that craves something. It craves something. It's one of the reasons why you get in trouble, because you crave things that you shouldn't crave. Because you have a nature, although being that it is redeemed, it is still being worked out. So that's why you have a flesh that you have to deal with on a daily basis and battle that flesh when it comes to, do I want what God wants for me, or do I want to give in to my flesh? It's easy to give in to your flesh if you're walking according to the flesh. But if you are in the spirit realm, as the Bible says you are, if you are children of God, that you walk according to a different spirit. A different spirit. And so the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no restriction. There is no penalty for the amount of fruit that you can have in your life. Okay? So you can try to get as much as you want of that, and God says no restriction. No restriction. But there is a limit on how much the flesh will give you. How much of flesh? So God says, we have to move you over into the spirit realm, knowing that that's where you live now, and stop living according to the flesh, because when you live according to the flesh, it only brings death. Only brings death. So if you don't think so, think about the times in your life where you gave into cravings emotionally and what it caused in your life. How it caused codependency. And it caused emotional entanglements that you did not need to be emotionally entangled in, because you gave into an emotional deficiency that was there that you did not submit unto Christ. So if you don't submit your emotions unto Christ, you are already allowing yourself to be led by the ways of the world, because the way the world works is by sight first rather than by faith first. And if you are led by the world and you go by sight, you're going to get entrapped every single time. It's a reason why people get addicted, okay? It's a reason why you hear terms like, hey, I'm just working for the weekend. That should not be your mantra as a Christian. I'm just working for the weekend, okay? You have a relationship with Christ now, who has died for you, who said, listen, we're working every day, okay? Every day can be a weekend, every day. Because we're working, you're living in me. We're not working to get to a place just so I can lose what I did over the last 5 days. So if that's the way you want to live, you're going to live in that cycle. Why would you put yourself in a position where you work hard all week and then blow it on stuff that you're just going to do it again next week? It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Because emotionally, you're not where you need to be. And if you're not careful, you can lose the progress that you're making in your life just because you saw something that you wanted to do and it looked good. It looked good. You don't live according to the way the world's supposed to live. Now, if you're a Christian, it's different for you. You don't live that way. Now, if you're not a Christian, it's natural for you. That's natural. But your conscience should be speaking to you in one way or another about the way you're living your life. If I know God and I know God's faithfulness and the standard that he sets, I know that he pricks and that he prods and that he speaks into different levels of your life about different things that you're doing that are not pleasing to him. Not that he's not pleased with you, but that are not pleasing to him because of the way you're living. The way you're living. Why? Because there's a standard of righteousness that he has set. So Matthew 6:33 says it this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So he said, don't seek it because you want it added. He said, seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and then it'll be added. So stop going after it first. Go after me first. So if you go after me first, then I'll start to add it in the right way. Because anything that has you, you become a slave to it. So if you're enslaved by what you're seeking and what you got, God said, that's not good for you. I love you too much to keep you enslaved. It's one of the reasons why I took Israel out of Egypt is because I was tired of seeing them in slavery. I set them free so that they could be free, so that they can walk into the promised land that I have for them. I didn't take them from there and bring them through the wilderness for no reason. I was actually doing something in their life to get them prepared and ready for what I was wanted to bring them into. And God does the same thing with you. He said, I didn't take you out of where I took you out of just so you can flounder in the wilderness. I took you out of where I took you out of so you can learn some things about me, learn about my standard of righteousness and the way I do things, so that when I take you into the promised land, you remember me and who I am and what I did. This is the new nature now. This is the new way. This is the new way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. That's what I came to do, he said. I came to turn the tables upside down, flip the world system upside down to show you what life really is like. So think about it in your mind right now, what that actually looks like for you and what you've been entrapped by and enslaved by and what has you right now. Well, how do I know it has me if you can't let it go? It has you. If I can't live without it, it's got you. It's one of the reasons why I believe that God tested Abraham when he did. God tested Abraham, not when Abraham was a baby, but when he was older, and said, lay down your kid that I gave you. What are you talking about? Yeah, lay down the kid that I gave you. Because I'm about to blow some things up in a good way. I'm about to expand your influence, and that you're not even going to be able to number your descendants when this is done. But I need you to do something for me because I want to test you in something. God doesn't just test you one time. He tests you repeatedly. He gave him the promise and then said, wait. And even when he waited, he was testing him in the wait, so much so that he failed some tests, if you remember Ishmael. And then when God decided to give him the promise, God tested him again and said, now lay him down. And so God will always test your allegiance and always test who's first. Who's first? Because God said, I'll have no other gods before me, none other. I don't care who it is. And so that means I'll come in and I'll test you so that I can see what's really inside of you and where your allegiance is. So, and while this was great today and we dedicated babies and it is special and it is supernatural, what you did today essentially was give your baby back over to God. Because you know that your baby did not come from you. You birthed it, but God created and formed that baby and allowed you to carry it. So I give it back to God because I know it's God's. It's the reason why Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, because Hannah was grieving that she couldn't have a kid and cried out, and then God said, oh, I'm going to answer it, and because Hannah said, listen, if I have this baby, I'm going to dedicate this baby back to you, and you can have the baby, and that's what she did. Had Samuel, brought it to the temple, and said, Eli, here's the baby. Guess where Samuel stayed? In the temple. Because it's not about what I get and keeping what I get. It's about giving back to God what he gave me. Because if I can do that, then it shows my priority and who's first in my life. And then God says, okay, then I can trust you with more. I didn't leave it with you so it can stay with you. I left it with you so that it can move through the different seasons of your life with you and then eventually move on to what I have. That it's the same thing with your money. Your money is not supposed to stay with you. No, yeah, I didn't. No. No, you're supposed to invest that money into the kingdom, but also invest the money so that there's a return on that money. And so that you can pass it along. Pass it along. Because eventually, when you've accumulated everything that you've accumulated in your life and you will pass, it's going somewhere. So God said, I need you to get used to passing. Because you're just passing through now. And I'm allowing things in your life to pass through so we can go on into the next phase. So I got to be careful in what I try to hold on to. So am I investing what God has given me? I'm not just talking about finances now. Am I investing my time? And what God, am I investing the gifts that God has given me? Or have I decided that I'm going to keep them to myself because they're mine? Well, they're not yours. So if I use the gift that God has given me, all of a sudden I point to a higher authority in my life and recognize that it didn't come from me, it came from someone else. I'm trying to help you understand perspective so that you don't get so wrapped up in self and realize that it's about you, but it's about someone else who has given it to you. Given it to you. Because it's not about your righteousness anymore, it's about His righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Christ is the standard. I don't meet the standard all the time because there are things that I'm still working out in my life. But it doesn't mean that I don't work toward the standard. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. And so if you are in here and you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God said, I'm going to fill it and satisfy you so that you don't want anything else. Isn't it something about God, when God begins to fill things in your life, you don't want the things you used to want. You don't want it because you're filled up with the things of God and the righteousness of God and the things that He gives, that everything else pales in comparison. The world can't offer you what God has already given you and what He continues to give you. And so it is futile for you to try to put what the world gives you into what God has died to give you, because it doesn't work. It's foreign. That's why there's a resistance that comes into your life when something begins to cross the boundary that God has set for your life that is not for you, and God says, that's not for you. You need to resist that. And you know what that resistance looks like. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because that's not for you anymore. I've set up the world with boundaries, but I've also set your life with boundaries. And so that cannot come in anymore. Even though you see it from a distance, even though it's trying to come in, there is something around you that says no, and you have to resist that. I place certain things around you for a reason. I don't want them in. I don't want them in anymore. When Adam and Eve sinned, He placed an angel in the garden and said, you can't come back here anymore. You had your chance, but you lost it. Because there are certain things that only God will let in. There are certain things that only God will let out. That's why in your relationships, you don't talk about everything you go through in your relationship to someone else, because other people can't handle what you're saying and what you're bringing. God said, I only want you to let out certain things because I'm not trying to get you entangled with what other people are entangled in, because when you're entangled and they're entangled, now we have a problem. Now we got intertwining going around, and now I have to go in and start untangling your emotions and what you said, what you shouldn't have said, and because you weren't set in me. There was a boundary that you crossed. That's why there are times in your life where God says, shut your mouth. No, don't even say it. Don't, because all you're going to do is incriminate yourself and bring yourself into a position that I never called you to be in. Just shut it. The Bible says that you be thought wise. The less you talk. Now, some of you will take that at the end. Oh, good. He said, don't talk. So that's it. That's it. Now, I'm not talking about implode. I'm talking about be led by what you say. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get it right or get it wrong all the time. You'll get both. You get it right or wrong, but you'll learn. How many of you, without a show of hands, have ensnared yourself because of what came out of your mouth? And you're like, man, I wish I can get that back. I wish I could get my foot out of your mouth right now, but I can't. I can't because I said it. especially in relationships. You got to be careful, because we raise up little gods because we think people are going to give us what God's going to give us, because we think that if we take the place of God that we can fix people. You cannot fix people. You cannot make people. Listen, the more you try to make someone do what you want them to do, all you do is put yourself in bondage. How are you going to make someone do what you want them to do and when you can't control yourself? And why would you want to? Why would you want to? If you've been set free and God has brought freedom into your life, why would you want to go back into a situation and control someone to make them do what you want them to do? Isn't it better to be free? Then I want to have someone go along with you just because you want to play nice and just because you want someone to do it with you. It's better to be free. Listen, don't be fooled and don't be duped into the lie thinking that, well, I'm better with other people. They got to go with me. I love being around certain people. But you learn that your identity is not in who I run with. My identity is who I am in Christ. Who I run with is a bonus. And if they can't hang, God's big enough to push them back. If he pushes them back, don't go running after them to try to keep them up with you. God said, I'm trying to get rid of them, but you want to keep them. Why would you want someone in your life that God doesn't want there? That is... But we do that, right? We do that. We call him up on the phone, man, I miss you so much. What you doing? How you doing? And you know in yourself, you're like, I probably shouldn't be doing this right now. But what are you doing? Because it's dysfunctional. It wasn't good for you. You know it wasn't good for you. But because, and I can't even use the phrase in here right now because I'm righteous. So because, but because you feel in a certain way, if you would just turn your affections toward him, he would take care of those cravings that are inside of you right now. Because you know, and God knows what's best for you. He knows what's best. And you would say, man, I know what's good for me. Yeah, you don't know like God knows it. Because God knows the deposit and what's inside of you. You don't see it all. And so if the standard is his righteousness and he's trying to build righteousness in your life, it's going to be real difficult for you to walk in his righteousness but still crave what he doesn't want you to crave. It doesn't work that way. And we've talked about this before. The more you walk with Christ, the less you're concerned about who's doing it with you. You know how it is doing it with you. You know, girls do certain things together. You know, guys, you try to. But if you would step back your life and say, you know what, there's someone who's always been with me. Always been. Man, he's always been with me, not just since birth, but every season of my life, he's been with me. Every season. He's been dealing with me. He's been protecting me. He's been showing me who I am and who I was and what he took me from. If you would just look back over your life and see the goodness of God, it would drive you to find satisfaction in one place, in the kingdom and his righteousness. And so that when you see things that Lord line up to that, you call it out for what it is. Oh, no, that ain't the kingdom. That's sin. And not in a, but no, that's just sin. That's what that is. Oh, that's just a moral issue there. That's all it is. Now you're talking on a different level because it's his kingdom and his righteousness. That's why, come on now, let's speak plainly. That's why you can't be around certain people who say the things they say anymore because I mean, your language has changed now. Like your kingdom, and it used to be you, but not anymore. And so the kingdom has changed. You're in a different kingdom now. That's why you got a kingdom. There's a battle of two kingdoms going on right now. You got the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And so the question is, which one are you in? How you doing? And so you know that dark is always going to try to prevail, but light always wins because you can't stop light. You can try to dull it. You can try to shut the light off. But eventually, guess what? Comes back on again. So what is it right now that's winning? Okay, I'm in the kingdom of God right now, but I'm not seeing victories. Well, stay in a little bit longer. Because what people do is that they say, well, it's not worth it, man. I tried Jesus, man. I gave my life to him, and all of a sudden, he didn't take my stuff away, and I'm still there. I'm still struggling. Yeah, okay, that's part of being in the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't mean that you are absent from issue. It means that you are invited into a new place that, albeit has issues, but you have someone in there fighting it with you. Listen, I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are people who are still struggling with porn addiction in this room. I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are people who are still struggling with stuff and they call themselves a Christian. That's life. But it does mean that you now have someone with you to help you kick it. Where before, it might have been an issue, but now you're in the kingdom, and as he's knocking on you, and as he's helping you, hey, turn it, watch it, hey, chill, back off. He's trying to help you kick it so that it doesn't overtake you because you're in a different kingdom now. You don't have to be perfect into the kingdom, but you do have to be willing to be perfected. So, I mean, you can't take perfection, then you might as well just, like, you know, that was probably a better kingdom. Because that kingdom, there's no growth there. I want you to think about this. There's no growth in that kingdom. All it is a spiral down. There's no way up. So, but when you transfer kingdoms and now you're under new ownership, now it's the way up. This one, now you got to way up on this one. But you got to work your way up now. You got to work your way up. And sometimes it's from the bottom. We making sense? I don't want to start at the bottom. It's like going on a new job and you have the experience, but you're saying, no, I don't want to start at the bottom because I know what I'm doing. But you don't know what you're doing in that company. So unless you go in and learn it their way, there's going to be no promotion. So you want promotion with God and you want God to bless you, you're going to have to learn it his way and learn it the kingdom's way. Okay, so the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom. You don't want to know how that's developed. That's developed through suffering, pain, and loss. Now, that's not the kingdom I want to be in. Well, that's the kingdom. Because remember, the cross is the way. So if there are people in your life telling you, hey, there's a quick fix, there's no quick fixes. There's no quick fixes. Salvation is an instant. Yeah, it takes place, but the perfecting of a saint takes a lifetime. It's a lifetime. There's no quick fix. You have to work your way up now. And God's going to take you through different levels and seasons and build righteousness in you so that you can take the next level. Because any level that you go through, there's a war on the next level. You're in a war right now, so there's a war on the next level. It's going to come against that. I'm going to come against what you learn, son. And so the enemy's going to come in and test what you learn on that level. Once you pass that thing, guess what? You're going to move on to the next level. And then you're going to learn, and then God's going to teach you, and then you're going to get tested on that level. What you learn? You held it good? Good. You did a great job there because you're being built. Now you're going to move into this level. Faith to faith. From glory to glory, every level, God's going to continue. Okay, I'm going to test you, and the enemy's going to test you at every single term. If you want to be tested, you are in the right place. If you want to prove yourself, you're in the right kingdom. I want to make something out of my life. Join me, son. Join me, daughter. We'll go places. But you have to see it from his perspective. If loss, depression, anxiety, all that stuff was part of your former life, it does not mean it will not be part of this life. But what it does mean is that you have someone now who's able to empathize and sympathize with your weakness and come meet you there and still allow you to do what you've been called to do without falling prey to it. It's one thing to experience it and feel it. It's another thing to succumb to it and become a slave to it. So you're having to learn to rule over stuff that used to rule you. So unless you learn how to rule, you'll always be ruled. And so God said, I haven't called you to be ruled, I've called you to rule. So I want you to rule now. Rule over your emotions. Rule over your lust. Rule over that stuff. That's the kingdom mindset, okay? The kingdom mindset. There's no slaves in the kingdom, he said. I didn't die for slaves. I died to keep you free. And so I need you to learn how to be kings. I need you to learn how to be queens in my kingdom, okay? So that means you're going to rule. Nothing is ruling me, God said right now. Nothing is ruling me. Nothing is outside my grasp. There's nothing that can tell me what to do. I know who I am. Completely, I'm in control. God said, I want you to work up to where I'm at. Not that you're going to be omnipresent, not that you're going to be omniscient, not that you're going to be everywhere at the same time, but I need you to work up to my righteousness and know that I've called you to win and be victorious and not be ruled. So anything that is making you submit to it, kill it. Kill it. So if your husband, if your husband is making you do things that you should not do, you know, hey, I can't do that no more. I'm in a new kingdom. The marriage bed's undefiled. We're all adults in here? Yeah, we are. The marriage bed's undefiled. What you do there is your business. It's undefiled. It's between you and God. You start inviting other things in there, then you have a little bit of a problem. Check yourself. I got problems. What's going on in the bed? I want to help. I want a successful marriage. What's going on in the bedroom? Because there are things that we come against that God said they're going to come against your intimacy levels. They're going to come against that one flesh thing. And so if you are not spending time together in one flesh, then you open yourself up to the attacks and what's happening around you right now. Come on, couples, married people, you're one flesh now. And so you got to be spending time with each other physically, emotionally, mentally. You got to respect that. That is a respect thing. And I know some of you are like, I'm not married. It's okay. There are other things you have to deal with. Don't think, and we're going somewhere, don't think that just because I'm with someone, that absolves me from temptation. It opens me up to temptation because I made a decision to be in a relationship with one woman, and we're going to glorify God in her life. Okay, we're going to be tested there. Not only that, but because we're in ministry and because we're doing what God's called us to do, we're going to be hit from every different side to try to get that testimony to die out. So if we're not spending time together physically, emotionally, we are open. We are open. And there are struggles that are there. That's just part of being a man. That's part of being a woman. But we're continuing to move. And if you're single, watching yourself, watching what you open yourself up to, because you don't want to get entangled to something that you see. Because you can't get that out of your mind that quick. And every time you try to go into a relationship that God has called you to go into, you can't get the image out of your mind because you're thinking about you. You're thinking about her rather than thinking about her. It's the world's way. Okay, it's the world's way. All right, world's way. Let's do it the world's way. All right, I got a porn addiction. There are things I'm trying to give into. I need to satisfy my craving. I got to satisfy my lust. And what you're doing is you are digging a hole for yourself. And you are causing yourself to be entangled so that you can't see straight. And so the next time God tries to deal with you, he's got to wade through all those images in order to get to you. Because that's not your identity. You've opened yourself up, and now there's a war against your identity. That's what's happening in the world right now. There's a war against identity. Well, yeah, no, there is. There is a war. There is. Why? Because men want to be women. Women want to be men. And because I don't want to be, you know, I just, this is the way I feel. That's not who you are. And you are confused. And the enemy has got in, and he's got his talons in you to think that you're something that you're not. Just because you felt a certain way, the world's way, I feel it, so I am. God's way, you know what? I see it by faith, that's who I am. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. You know what? I am a child of God. Gone. I am a child of God. Another one gone. I am a child of God. You're right, Lord. You're right. Your righteousness is what I'm looking for. And you keep moving away. Every time you declare in faith, I am who God says I am, you keep moving further and further away from that kingdom and you keep moving into the kingdom of his marvelous light because now you identify with the cross. I am not identified with what happened to me. I am not identified with my abuse. I have not been identified with what happened to me when I was 5. I'm not identified with that anymore. He has set me free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's my identity. That's who I am identified with now. Come on now, stop worrying about what it was. It is what it is. Because even when it was happening, you didn't even know necessarily what was happening. And let's be honest in here. Hats off, masks off. There are things you did when you were a kid. You were ignorant that you did them. I'm not making light of stuff. But what I am saying is that the blood of Christ is sufficient. It knows what to do. It covers over stuff. And that it is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Once you see and know that God has seen everything in your life from when you were born until now, it changes your perspective. Lord, what don't you see? I'm already bare and naked before you. And it causes me to open my heart unto him and say, this is who I love. This is my relationship and what I want it to be. You already see me for who I am. Why do I need to hide? Come out of hiding. Abuse, everything. Come out of hiding. There's no reason to anymore. There's no reason. Well, yes, there is. There is no reason. Who are you hiding from? You know what they did? No. I can tell you a story, though. If I were to let family of origin stuff define me, I wouldn't be here today and do what God has called me to do and what I'm about to do in my life. If I were to let that define me, you got to get to the point in your life where your family of origin does not define you. They're a part of your life, and they are part of your life, but they don't define you. You are who God's created you to be, fearfully and wonderfully made. Just be it. What is identify with the cross? The cross made you worthy. The cross made you accepted so that I could sit in a service free of guilt, worshiping God, no matter what's going on in my life, because I know that my nature has been changed and that he sees me as he sees me. He sees me through all that stuff and still calls me righteous. What's up? Yeah, I want a relationship with a God like that. Because what that does is it causes me to soar to different places and different heights. Because the kingdom of darkness now no longer has a hold on me. It's no longer attractive. It is useless to me now. Useless. You are a defeated foe, and you'll stay there. But unless you keep your foot there, you give him room to breathe. The further I get into this kingdom, the further away I get from that one. And when that tries to rear its ugly head and come into this one, I recognize it. You're in the wrong place, man. Listen, I really feel like God wants to help people see their life differently today. See it differently. He said, listen, if I pass through darkness into light, so can you. Why would I die so that a part of you could stay hidden? Why would I die so you can stay there? I'm trying to pull you with me. Isn't that the beauty of the kingdom? The beauty of the kingdom is that he redeems. If you want a story of redemption, talk to this woman. The story of redemption. And tell you about her life and what she went through. And I love her. She's still rough. I love her, man. You know what I'm saying? But I love her. It's her life. It's what she went through. Don't cancel your past. I'm trying to not forget. Why? I mean, kingdom of darkness, we got to cancel everything, man. We got to cancel it all. We got to cancel it all. Founding fathers, racism, all, we got to cancel everything. Everything's got to be canceled. Because we can't remember. We can't have a history. We can't go back and remember all that stuff because that just wasn't good. That's part of your history. That's part of who you are. That's part of what you came out of. That's part of what they died for, so that you can be free. So why would I go back and cancel it? I remember it. Thank you, Jesus. Not that I live there, but thank you, Jesus, for the price they paid so I can be here. Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid so that I can be here. And one more thing. He can't be canceled. You try. He can't be canceled. The kingdom's already in. Here's the thing about, the kingdom, is that it was already in his mind before he even created the world. He was already coming. The veil has been torn. It can't be closed again. Heaven is open. It can't be shut. I mean, you trying to cancel something that can't be canceled. I'm trying to erase my debt. He already erased your debt. I'm trying to get out, man. I got. Why? Just accept the fact that you're bruised. Accept the fact that you got hit. Accept the fact that there's some stuff happening in your life. But guess what? I'm doing good today because the blood of Christ, man, is sufficient. He has healed me up so good that I remember the goodness of God. And I look back and say, man, he's been sufficient even in my brokenness. He was sufficient even when I was depressed. He was sufficient even when I had anxiety. And he's still sufficient now. So what can separate me from God's love? What can? Nothing can separate me. Genesis shared something this morning, and as we get ready to close, about her past and how rough it was. And sometimes God will allow you to experience things that other people don't experience. So you can be a light to a lost and dying world so that they can see if God can redeem that life, God can redeem this life. Because that's what the world needs. So what? It was hard. So what? You didn't know what to do. So what? It was difficult. So what? You didn't know. You didn't make it sometimes. You were frustrated. So what? How is God going to use it now? Because it was that struggle that made you fight. It was that struggle that made you stronger. It was that struggle that made you want him more. It was that struggle that pushed you toward him. That's what God used to get your attention. Your attention. Stop getting upset at the struggle. I'm just so upset. Why? You were born in a struggle. Life is struggle. Just accept it. Take the hit. Just take what life's going to give you and keep moving on, because I know that God is building me up. He's getting me ready for something. God's never going to waste an opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? There's something about that invites you and gets you moving to where you need to be. Once you just accept it, that God is not going to stop everything from happening in your life. That is not God's way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the way. That's his way. That forced you to look elsewhere, and you found him. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm embarrassed by it. Don't be embarrassed by it. Man. When you hug people in here, you're hugging people who have dealt with lust addictions. You're hugging people in here who've dealt with divorce, depression. But God's goodness. Why is it there are things that you thought weren't so bad before, but now you look at them as, nah, that's just terrible? God specializes in healing broken hearts and lives. That's what he does. And if that's where you're at, you're in the right place. So you look at these shirts in here and say, you belong here. You know what? God said, you belong in my kingdom. Because that I didn't come for people who are well. I can't believe me. I came for people who are sick. Sick. And if nothing else, you know what that looks like because you know you. But God's grace is so sufficient that it gets you to a place where you want him more and that you don't want what was. Listen, hasn't the kingdom given you a taste of what is good? Hasn't tasting and seeing that the Lord is good giving you a desire to want more of him rather than the imitation and the perversion of what is good in the other kingdom? Come on. Remember, the enemy can only imitate. He can't create. Nah. Only imitates. Only God can create. Guess who he created? You. Every person in this room, thank you, Lord, so much. Can we all lift our hands in the air? I need maybe to come. Just go ahead and do it. We do hard things here. Just put your hands up. Every person in this room right now. I thank you, Lord, that you died for them specifically for them. I thank you today that they have a seat in your kingdom, that they are placed in you because of what you did and your sacrifice. For every person, Lord, struggling with that identity today, I thank you today that your presence is here to start to fix that. As you fix it, I pray as they become whole, they're going to want more of you and less of that other kingdom. Thank you, God, that their experience of what have made them who they are today. Thank you, God, that they don't stay back where it was, but, Lord, they remember what it is and what you did, but they move forward in all that you have for them today. Today is going to be a turning point for people today. Every person today, Lord, who's thinking about quitting, thinking about suicide, I thank you today you're going to intervene supernaturally and start to change hearts and change minds now, today. Those that are doubting the purpose, thank you today that they're going to find you because you are the way. You are the truth.